telling me I was playing badly. No, I'm playing, I was plenty fast. I thought it was just a plain badly singer.
I find as long as I'm like following the cues right.
Once you're busy, get going, get then.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Whereas we slowed down the other one, I think, but I think it was fine because it kept me in time a bit better.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church. Whether you're joining us in person, at home, through the live stream, or watching via video afterwards, it's great to be here. And it really is great to be here. I usually say something like that when I'm leading, but it feels especially great to be here. Rebecca and I were talking a couple of nights ago, and it was over 18 months ago that we were last properly worshipping on a Sunday morning together. So it does feel especially great to be here. For those of you that are returning to the church building like me for the first time to worship today, you'll be annoyed by the echo. It is good to be back. For those of you that are here for the first time ever, maybe as a visitor, maybe you're visiting family as we're allowed to do at the moment, it's great to have you with us. So please do feel especially welcome today. We come to worship God, don't we? We come to worship our Father in this building together. And for those of you that don't know me, my name's Scott. I'm one of the elders here at church. And for those of you that are new to church in general, we are one church with three sites and many gatherings. So as well as worshiping in this building this morning, there are people worshiping from the Crag gathering up in Horsforth and Bramley for Connect as well. So we're covering quite a bit of Leeds, which is great to be able to do. Our vision for this year is to have a growing passion for God, love for people, and heart for mission. So that says something about who we are and something about what we're looking to see God do in and through us. So in a second, we're about to stand, and those at home, I really hope, will make up for the lack of singing from within the building. The music group are going to lead us skillfully in worship, but those of us here will stand in a second as a recognition and as a symbol of our worship of God, but we can't yet sing. So please at home, make up for it. Sing the house down. Sing so loudly your neighbours are knocking on the door saying, what's going on? Is there a party that we weren't told about? So, passion for God, love for people, heart for mission. And I pray this morning as we worship together that we would see something of God's character afresh today. So we're going to stand, we're going to not sing or sing Ancient of Days.
Sing, oh God.
Praise God. Please take a seat. I have to say, I don't know if you're singing or not because I can't tell from behind the masks. Maybe like me, you found that really tough and the odd word slipped out. It's really difficult not to sing. So, great to be here. Great to be able to worship God. Those of you that have been tuning in will know that we're doing a series at the moment on lament. And Nathan is going to come and unpack God's message to us today on the lament of relationship breakdown, which feels quite apt, it being Father's Day. So, as ever when I lead, I've got a little task for you. You didn't think you were going to be passengers this morning, did you? Gonna have to do some doing. If you came on your own, maybe this is a time for reflection, but I've got a task for you that I want you to listen to very carefully. So, when I think about my role as a father, I think one of the most important things I can do for Louis and Sophie is to show them something of God's character. And I don't just mean talk about it, I mean to do it, to be an earthly representation of our Father in heaven. So we think about the Father and we think about his character, and immediately we're drawn to things like the fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're the things I think of when I think of Heavenly Father. So your task in a minute, and there is a caveat to this. If, like me, you didn't have a great earthly father, there is a caveat. Your task is to discuss with the person next to you, or if you came on your own, to just reflect on what one aspect of God's character did your earthly father do a great job of displaying to you. So it might be that you had the kind of dad who was a brilliant fixer, and he was awesome at DIY. And no matter how long it took him, it might have been a 3-week project, but he would fix that sink. That might be the patience of God's character, that he just persevered, forbearance, all of that. Maybe you've got an earthly father who was incredible at showing you that you were loved and unconditionally so. If, like me, you didn't have an earthly father that was around or that was great, who's God brought into your life? Who did he bring you to show you something of his character that you can say, I know my Father in heaven because of this person and how they embodied God's character? Does that make sense so far? I'm getting a few nods. Okay, so the person next to you, or if you're on your own, just reflect on what was your earthly father great at representing? If earthly father wasn't around or great, who did God bring into your life and what did they embody? 1 minute, off you go. Ten seconds left. Okay. For those of you that are sat there cringing, thinking, is he going to make me share this? COVID restrictions have got you off the hook today. The English stiff upper lip, let's not share any emotions. For that contingent in the gathering this morning, you're off the hook. You don't have to come and share. But there will be aspects of God's character that your earthly father or somebody that God's brought into your life, you're grateful for this morning. It's a great thing that we have relationships that enable us to see something of God's character. I'm just going to read you a very brief poem from a lady called Trudy Bierman. So she says this. Parenting is the closest human perspective of God ever. That is why absent fathers and poor parenting skews our ability to see God in his justice and goodness. Until then, we and our kids do see God through the filter of the parenting experience. If you have ever had a moment of anger, disappointment, embarrassment, etc., with your children and loved them anyway, as most parents do, then you have the closest human experience of how God must feel about dealing with us. It really struck me that that is powerful, both as someone who's been parented and somebody who has the privilege of being a parent. It's quite powerful, both sides of that. So in a second, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray for us as we celebrate or lament Father's Day this morning. But let's do so with thankful hearts that God has brought us people into our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for those of us who have had fathers who knew you and knew so much of your character. And Lord, they were able not just to talk about your character, but they were able to be the best version of those characteristics that they could be. Lord, we thank you for those fathers. And Lord, we thank you for those of us who didn't have an earthly father who was a great reflection of you. Lord, we thank you that you've brought people into our lives. Lord, we thank you that you brought people that were able to point to you and to be reflective of your character. But Lord, this morning I pray boldly that you would make this day a fresh celebration of your love and your characteristics, Father. For those of us who have a painful experience each time this point in the year comes around, Father, I pray that there will be a fresh appreciation of your love and your character. Lord, that by the goodness of your Spirit and the peace that surpasses all understanding, Father, we would see something afresh of your character today. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to stand and not sing, or sing loudly, our next song, which is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Thank you. the wounds which marred the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Jesus, we thank you that you are the wounded healer. We thank you that you bring many sons to glory by the grace of that act. Amen. Please have a seat. I believe Rio is now going to come and lead us in prayer. Or Chris.
Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you this morning. I was really struck this week by what it says about you in Revelation 4. You're worthy, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Lord, thank you for making us. Thank you for making the world, the universe, for making each other. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being made in your image. Lord, just in the quiet now, we bring before you the things in our lives that we know are not right, that have not honored you, that have not respected you, and have not lived up to your standards in treating you and the rest of your creation and each other, Lord. Whether they're things that we did deliberately or things that we've done accidentally or things that we haven't even noticed yet, we just bring these things before you and say sorry. Lord Jesus, we rejoice in the forgiveness that you give us. Lord, it says of you in Revelation 5, you are worthy because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Lord Jesus, thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you wash our souls clean by your blood. Lord, thank you for the relationship that we have with you. Thank you for bringing us together as priests, as your kingdom, as your people. Lord, help us to be that at Cornerstone. Lord, help us to grow in our faith in you, our relationship with you. Help us to be holy and righteous and strive towards that more and more, to be more like you, Lord God, because you are so wonderful. Lord, help us to be your kingdom, to love each other more, and to love those around us more, to take the good news of your gospel to our communities, to our families, to our friends, to our workplaces and studies. Wherever it is that we are, Lord, help us as a church, us as individuals, to testify to you in our words and in our actions of how wonderful you are, Lord Jesus. Will the love that we have for each other as a church be a testimony to anybody that comes of the love that you have for us. Lord, we pray for your blessing on the ministries of this church, for the cafe, for the under fives, for the kids, for everything that happens throughout the church family during a week. We pray for your blessing on it, Lord. Work powerfully through these ministries, we pray. Help us to encounter you through these. Will people connect with you and come to know you, Lord Jesus, and be saved? Lord, we pray for the COVID pandemic. We pray that it will come to an end. Lord, we know that cases in the UK are rising again. We just pray for your mercy on us, Lord. We pray that things will not be as bad as with previous waves, Lord, that you would help us as individuals to look out for each other. We pray for wisdom for our government as to know when to open things up or when to tighten things up again. Lord, we just pray for your guiding hand with them. And Lord, we particularly pray for those that are struggling at the moment, whether emotionally, physically, spiritually, whether there are financial pressures or family pressures, whatever it is. Lord, draw near to us now, we pray. Lord, speak your healing, caring love into our lives, Lord, and put people around us that can do that as well, that can, again, be practical demonstrations of your love for us. Lord, this series on lament has been really powerful so far that we've been doing as church, and we just pray that you'll be with us by your Spirit this morning, that you would help us today, but also in our day-to-day lives, to articulate how we think and how we feel and articulate our situations before you, Lord. Lord, we often don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to respond sometimes, but by the power of your Spirit, will you help us to find the words, or even if we can't, help us to express through our emotions and our thoughts before you, and help us to have that assurance that you hear and that you care for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I was really struck as well this in Revelation 5. It describes how the prayers of the saints are like bowls of incense in the presence of your throne, Lord Jesus, that when you enthroned, our prayers come to you as worship. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to bring our prayers, our lives, our situations, the situations of others before you this morning, knowing that you hear and knowing how wonderful and caring you are in receiving those prayers as worship, Lord. Receive our worship, receive our prayers this morning, Lord Jesus, for your name's sake and for your glory and honor. Amen.
That Ruth is going to come and read from Psalm 55 and Romans 12, 14 to 21.
Yeah, so we start in Psalm 55. It says, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught at the voice of the enemy, at the stares of the wicked, for they bring down suffering upon me and revile me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Confuse the wicked, O Lord. Confound their speech. For I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship, as we walked with the throng at the house of God. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the grave, for evil finds lodging among them. But I call to God, and he saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned forever, will hear them and afflict them. Men who never change their ways and have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are as soothing as oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you." And the second is from Romans chapter 12, and we start at verse 14. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge with my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your words, and we thank you that we can read it openly. Thank you that we're not persecuted for having a possession of a Bible, either physically or on our phones or tablets. We pray that you'd help us as we think together what it means to lament relationship breakdown. And we pray that as we do that, that you would meet with us and that we would be changed. Amen. Okay. Adele, Beyonce, Bon Iver, Kelly Clarkson, Coldplay, Bob Dylan, Jose Gonzalez, Sam Smith, Amy Winehouse, Bill Withers. No, I'm not taking you through my alphabetized CD collection. Yes, I do still own CDs. Yes, they are alphabetized. Those 10 artists, those 10 acts, have written notable breakup songs. And they feature heavily on playlists across streaming platforms. In 2018, Spotify sent out some figures that said they had over 500,000 breakup-themed playlists. And a representative of Spotify said this: some people might not want or know how to articulate how they're feeling during a rough time. Maybe it's nice to let Sam Smith or Kelly Clarkson express it for you. Today, as Scott's already mentioned, we're continuing in our series looking at lament, and we're focusing on relationship breakdown. At this point, I want to emphasize that we're not solely concentrating on the breakup of romantic relationships. Unfortunately, relationship breakdown is everywhere. It's in families, friendships, marriages, schools, workplaces, sports teams, neighborhoods. We've seen it played out in politics this week, as well as many others. And yes, even churches. And as with most stressors, during this past 15 months, living through a pandemic has put extra strain on the situation. Relationships have had to navigate differences of opinion on COVID, on lockdowns, on how to manage restrictions, on vaccines and everything else in between. Relationships which usually thrive on in-person contact have been starved and unsatisfied, coping over the telephone, WhatsApp, Zoom and others. And as well as being present in our culture and society, when I came to choose a Bible reading today, I realized that relationship breakdown runs right through Scripture. So from Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, Moses and Jethro, Saul and David, and skip forward to the New Testament, Jesus and his family, Jesus and the Pharisees, Jesus and almost anybody that he meets, James and John, the sons of thunder, Judas, Peter, Paul and Barnabas. We are surrounded by relationship breakdown. And what is our response? Are we simply resigned to, well, it's a fact of life. It will happen. It has happened, it does happen, and it will continue to happen. Or do we rationalize it by looking at the sort of facts and figures and say, oh, this is why it happens. This is the result of relationship breakdown. This is why. In an article that he wrote for Time magazine during the early days of the pandemic, N.T. Wright wrote this: it's no part of Christian vocation then to be able to explain what's happening and why. In fact, it is part of the Christian vocation not to be able to explain and to lament instead. Our desire for this short series on lament is to learn how to do that well. And this morning we're going to look together an example of lamenting over a relationship breakdown in Psalm 55. And then we'll turn our attention to a few passages in Matthew 5, and then we'll finish in Romans 12, which Ruth read for us. And so if you're able, whether that's via a phone or a device or you've got a paper copy at home, you can turn to Psalm 55 with me. This is a song of David, David being the second king of Israel, the one who God described as being someone after his own heart. And unlike some of the Psalms, we can't place this one in the timeline of David's life. We could perhaps look for cues, we could guess, we could speculate, but we're not going to do that because actually when it was written isn't important to us this morning, but why it was written is. Desiring God suggests that most laments feature four essential elements, and we're going to look at Psalm 55 under those headings initially. And so the four features of lament are often turning to God, bringing your complaint, asking boldly for help, and choosing to trust God. So let's look together at each of those in turn, and looking down at Psalm 55. So firstly, turning to God. In verse 1, we see David turn to God, and almost more than that, he pleads to God to turn to him. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore me. Hear me and answer me. This is his desire to turn to God, and he wants God to be ready to respond and to turn to him. And so there's an urgency to David's cries, but there's an intimacy too. And we see the intimacy in the honest outpouring of David's emotions. So again, look down with me at verses 2, where we see that David says, my thoughts trouble me and I am distraught. And verse 4, my heart is in anguish within me. Fear and trembling have beset me. In verse 5, horror has overwhelmed me. This is David bare before God, unfiltered, not holding back. He jumps straight in. He's come to the throne room of God, and he's not left his emotions at the door, but he's taken his emotions and he's carried them to the feet of the one sat on the throne and says, this is where I am. This is how I'm feeling. I'm turning to you. And so that's David turning to God, so bringing his complaint. What's his beef? What's wrong? What's he seen or experienced that is grieving him? It seems initially in verse 9, David speaks very broadly. He says, confuse the wicked, O Lord, confound their speech. So almost like a mass of people, and that's again common in scripture and in Psalms. So the wicked, who are these people? Who is it? But actually it's much more specific. And so if you look again at verses 12 to 14, we have David's first kind of detail about the actual situation. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. For it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship as we walked with the throng at the house of God. You know, David's experience was of relationship breakdown within the people of God. I'm sure he experienced it, and we see that elsewhere in those who were outside the people of God. But here, for David, in this moment of lament, it's within the people of God. And it's a specific person. You know, there's real, again, intimacy in the close friends. We shared fellowship. And we walked together. This was a close acquaintance. This is a BFF, whatever you want to call it, of David's. And yet the relationship broke down. In verses 20 and 21, we get a bit more detail about how it happened. You know, the smooth talking friend, yet war in his heart. And so this is the complaint that David has. This is the situation that he looks at and he can't think about how to solve. And so the third element, he asks boldly for help. In verse 16, "But I call to the God and the Lord saves me." I call to God and the Lord saves me. I almost find it more interesting that we don't know what David called, as if it was almost a guttural cry of anguish that he couldn't actually put words to, that it was a groan, it was a cry. And do you know what? God understood even that and saved him. And so just as a little aside, for us as we pray, we don't always need the words, but a cry can be enough. And God hears the cry and knows what causes the cry and can save us from it. And in his boldness, it's not just a one time. So in verse 17, you can see evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. So this is David persistently bringing something to God. It's not, I'm going to lament of this situation. I'm going to say one prayer and then I'm going to get on with the rest of my life. But actually, this is a significant relationship breakdown that David brings again and again and again and again to God. So he asks boldly for help. And then finally, in terms of the elements of a lament, we see that David chooses to trust God. And we see that in the final sort of couple of verses. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. And in the very final line, but as for me, I trust in you. So I trust in God. So this is David's lament of a relationship breakdown. And just as perhaps we might listen to songs which kind of express our emotions when we can't, maybe we find in this psalm an expression of the emotions that we can't over a relationship breakdown, whether that's within your family, within your workplace, on your street, in the social groups that you move in this church. And so we lament relationship breakdown. I almost said lamationship breakdown, but I have no idea what that means. And one thing that is important for us to remember about lament is that lament is not self-absorbed introspection, but it's God-focused freedom. And what I mean by that is because we are free to bring our concerns to God, our cries to God, because he cares for us. You know, Graham last week put it very evocatively that we can slap God in the face because actually God can take it. And so if we're struggling with loss, if we're struggling with relationship breakdown, if there's another situation that grieves us, we can bring that to God because God can take it. Another writer suggested that lament is an appeal to God based on confidence in his character. Based on confidence in his character. So we can honestly express our emotions and bring difficult situations to God, knowing the goodness of his character. Knowing that we can. Because actually bringing this won't then separate me from God. Bringing this won't exclude me from God. But God says, come, talk to me. And so for Psalm 55, and as an example, as a lament of relationship breakdown, it is personal. It is raw. It is honest. And it trusts in God. And so if you're able, just flick forwards to Matthew chapter 5. And this is Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry. What's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. And we look at a few passages in here not to help us reframe the concept of relationship breakdown, but we ask ourselves the question, well, why relationship breakdown? And perhaps in light of some of these things that Jesus says. So to begin with, in Matthew 5 and verse 9, within the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. The peacemakers, those who seek to restore relationships, those who if they would only do one thing, it would be about bringing people together and making peace. Later on, Jesus almost unpacks this further for them in verse 23. When speaking about anger, goes on to say, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift." So Jesus is saying, I know it's a reality that there will be relationship breakdown. And what I'm concerned with is that more so than your public acts of worship. So don't come to the altar, don't come to offer yourselves to God, knowing that there is relationship breakdown in your life. And again, I find it interesting that Jesus says, remember that your brother has something against you. So it's almost you don't feel aggrieved. So you're actually quite jolly about life and you're just going on. But then you remember that that person, yeah, they've got something against me, maybe because something I did unknowingly or purposely. Actually, it's not okay almost that if you're okay with it. Jesus says, if your brother has something against you, so go and find them and settle the matter. So relationship breakdown, Jesus is saying it's going to happen, but I want you to resolve these situations. And then later on, at the end of this chapter, Matthew 5, Jesus kind of concludes this short section. You've heard it that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And so this is Jesus' instructions at the very beginning. Be peacemakers, reconcile yourselves, and don't just do that, but bless and pray for those who persecute you, those who the relationships are completely broken down to the point of actually they're against you. And so Jesus frames relationship breakdown for us, that it will happen, but you're to pursue peace. You are to pursue peace. And so then to move to Romans 12, where we'll settle for a little while and then we'll finish. The verses that Ruth read to us. And I want to start with just one verse towards the end and then we'll kind of look backwards. And that's verse 18. So Romans 12 and verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So Paul caveats that final live at peace with everyone with two things. So if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. So as we consider lamenting relationship breakdown, we consider broken relationships across our society, in our personal lives. Paul himself recognized that it's not always possible to live at peace with people. But just because something isn't always possible doesn't mean that we shouldn't strive for the impossible. Not in our own strength, but in the power and the strength that Jesus gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that makes impossible things possible. Relationships that have broken down long ago and we've almost forgotten about them, or we stopped praying about them, or we never prayed about them because we thought, you know what? It can't be resolved. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I just invite you in the silence of this place, or in the non-silence at home, to encourage you to think, is there a relationship that has broken down in recent times or in your past that you've not prayed about in the first instance, that you've not brought to God in lament, that actually decided just to move on because it was too painful to bring it to God? Because God cares and wants to hear. God wants you to take all of your raw emotion and sit at his feet. And if all it is to sigh or to cry aloud, then God receives that. We have freedom to do that with our Heavenly Father. Within Romans 12, Paul kind of gives a bit of a scattergun approach of things to do that kind of echo from the Sermon on the Mount. So bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited, so don't think of yourselves better than other people. All these things that Paul outlines to the church in Rome. And so for us, as we think about lamenting relationship breakdown, maybe the sorrow of a relationship breakdown has turned you from God. You know, our encouragement is to let the sorrow and the pain turn you towards God. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't think God's not interested and God doesn't want to know. We appeal to God on the confidence of his character, that God is love, that Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. Jesus, the one who intercedes for us, the Bible tells us. Jesus, the peacemaker, who brought the entire world and the created order into the availability of right relationship with God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed is the ultimate peacemaker, because he is the Son of God. Jesus Christ himself, his death on the cross, brought restoration in relationships. And so because of that, we can bring the brokenness to God. The song that we'll stand and not sing together in a moment speaks about come and stand before your Maker, full of wonder, full of fear. Come behold his power and glory, and yet with confidence draw near. For the one who holds the heavens, yet commands the stars above, is the God who comes to bless us with an unrelenting love. Jesus was like the first wave of that blessing, of an unrelented love, and it goes on and on and on, even to today. Through the power of the Spirit, through the people of God working for peace, through the people of God crying out for peace, attempting to restore relationships which are broken, but which can't seem to be fixed. As we stand together and hear that song sung to us, be encouraged to remember the character of God. Be encouraged to remember that you can draw near to God. There was a song that I learned while studying at the University of Leeds with our cell group by an artist called Owen Heaslip. And it said, I lay bare my heart as I come to you, and I offer all I've come to be to you. In some ways, it might feel like we're defined by the relationships that have broken down. Maybe because you've attempted to be a different person to the one who caused a relationship breakdown, or the one who was part of a relationship breaking down. Or maybe it's because we just carry those scars, don't we? We carry the hurts and the raw emotion. And in the chorus of that song, it says, You see me through the Father's eyes. You see beauty in me. We'll stand and not sing two songs. And one, the second, encourages us to look to Jesus as our vision. Jesus, the one who is the fulfillment of the character, the loving character of God himself. So let's stand and sing if we're at home, or not sing in this place, knowing that we can come to God with confidence.
Oh,
And all God's people said, Amen. Please do take a seat. We're just about to conclude our time of worship together. But I want to encourage you, if you have heard anything today that has really got you thinking, has challenged you, that maybe you disagree with, or you would really appreciate prayer for, do get in touch with us. I know Nathan and I will be in the foyer outside the kind of courtyard area briefly afterwards, but also there will be details on your screens of ways to get in touch. Maybe you want prayer, maybe there's some stuff that you'd like to discuss. Please do get in touch. Don't just sit there and let it wash over you. Grapple with God's word and what it's teaching us. So as we close, I'm just going to read my favourite blessing from Numbers 6. It says this: The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance toward you and give you his peace. Amen.